Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to our broadcast. In just a few moments, we're going to bless you with part one of a wonderful message delivered in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church. But first, enjoy this wonderful music from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project titled Let Your Glory Fall, this song is named Every Day.
What to say, Lord, it's you who gave me life, and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now. That you would save me, Lord, I give all that I am to you, that every day I can be a light that shines your name. Every day, Lord, I learn to stand upon your word, and I pray that I might come to know you more, that you would guide me in every step I take, Lord, that every day I can be a light unto the world. To say, Lord, it's you who gave me life, and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now. That you would save me, Lord, I give all that I am to you. Every day I can be a light that shines your name.
Every day it's you I live for.
Be blessed as you enjoy part one of a wonderful message delivered in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church titled, O Taste and See.
The Bible says praise is comely for the upright. Comely is an old word that means beautiful. Look at your neighbor and tell him praise looks good on you. Amen. Tell him you're at your most beautiful when you're praising God. Glory. Oh, let's give the Lord some more praise. Amen. There is a tremendous touch of God here tonight, and I believe the Lord wants to break in among us for healing. I want you to stay sensitive. The Lord may use you in the gifts of the Spirit. The Lord may use you to minister a deliverance or healing or even the baptism of the Spirit or renewing in the Spirit to someone here tonight. Amen. Stay plugged in and stay sensitive. I am going to speak a few moments from the Word of the Lord. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Amen. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 34. Praise God. Psalm 34 and reading there verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. My title tonight is Oh, Taste and See. Amen. Let's give the Lord another shout of praise here. Amen. Amen. Are y'all ready to shout a response for me? God is good. And all the time. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, look him right in the eye and tell him, God is good. Amen. As we're seated, let's give another hand praise and another great shout to the Lord. Amen, amen. God bless you. Amen. I'm going to come back to Psalm 34 in just a little bit, but I want to go into the New Testament, into the gospel according to John. In John's gospel, I want to read for you there first from John chapter 10, and then also I'll be reading from John chapter 4. John chapter 10 reads this way, beginning with the first verse. Verily, verily, which essentially means truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And then, if you'll allow me to say it this way, Jesus explained it to them a little bit more. The Bible says in verse 7, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen. There is a vein in the spirit here tonight. And you have heard, amen, as folks have gotten into this pulpit, they have touched on it. Elder Hannah, Sandy touched on this, that he came and he died in our place. He shed his blood to buy our salvation. He says here, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. His language then caused some confusion among the Pharisees that were listening. And the scripture says in verse 19, there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And the next few verses go on to tell how badly they hated Jesus. Now, I want to talk to you just for a moment about the difference between upside down and right side up. The Lord is good. That's all right. Go ahead and respond to it. The Lord is good. And all the time, amen. But if you're upside down, you don't see things right. And instead of loving him, you hate him. There is a perception among people of the world. They don't want to come to church. They're not interested in it. I love to come to church. Why the difference? He turned me right side up, and they're still upside down. They're not seeing clearly. They don't understand right what's going on. And that's why my message tonight is addressed not only to you, but to those outside who still have their thinking turned on its head. You're still looking like somebody strung you up by your feet from a tree. You see things upside down. And so I come to tell you tonight, the devil is a liar. God is good. Amen. He wants what's best for you. He came to give you blessings. He came to give you healing. He came to give you salvation. He came to provide for you. God is good. Let's do it again. God is good. And all the time. You need to understand, if your thinking is backwards, you don't see the church right. The church is the best thing that could ever happen to you. It is a divine institution. You need the church, and the church needs you. If you see the church as a place you don't want to be around, I'm telling you, you are upside down, and you need to let the Lord turn you right side up. And so I say, along with the psalmist David tonight, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord said, the Lord illustrated to us tonight how he can fill more than one role at one time. He told a parable, and in the parable, he is both the gate into the sheep pen, and he is also the shepherd that's approaching the gate and that door into the sheep pen. And if you'll read this in some modern translations, it talks about the gatekeeper. It's in the King James, it's the porter. And the gatekeeper sees the true shepherd coming. He doesn't open the gate for a fake. He doesn't open the gate for a phony. He doesn't open the gate for a thief. He sees the true shepherd coming, and he opens it up. I'm telling you tonight, folks, I'm not that shepherd. I say with John the Baptist, there's somebody who's greater than I am. I'm not that shepherd, but I am going to tell you I'm a doorkeeper. I'm a gatekeeper, and I'm watching over your soul, and I'm not going to let some false prophet get in here and mess with your mind and mess with your spirit. You say, Pastor Joseph, how do you know the difference? I'll tell you how I know the difference. I know the shepherd. I know his voice. I can't be fooled. I can't be tricked. I'm only going to open the gate for the true shepherd. And the truth of the matter is, you need to get to know him. If you can still be tricked between a voice of the enemy and the voice of God, then you got to get a little bit closer to the shepherd. I remember once a preacher preached a message, some things that he learned from those that keep sheep. And he talked about the fact that in ancient times, in Bible times, that there would be instances where a little lamb would stray and the shepherd would intentionally break a bone. Or break a bone in one or two legs of that lamb. And then he would set that break with a splint, and he would bandage things up. And then while that bone was mending, the shepherd would carry that lamb on his shoulder. And as that lamb was carried day by day and week by week until that lamb was healed up, There's a Bible verse in which the psalmist said that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. There was something that happened in that that lamb got so used to hearing the heartbeat of the shepherd. He got so used to smelling the scent of the shepherd. He got so used to hearing the voice of the shepherd that once the splint was taken off and he was free to roam again, he would never again stray far away from the shepherd because he had developed a relationship with the shepherd. He knew who the shepherd was. I'm telling you tonight, folks, the thief is not coming to do you any good. The thief comes for to steal and to kill and to destroy. There is nothing for you in this world. There is nothing for you in the kingdom of darkness. The devil has nothing for you. You need to get turned right side up and see things how they really are. God is good. And all the time. Now, I want to ask a couple of these elders to help me in just a few minutes when I go back to Psalm 34. But I want to go to John chapter 4. I want to draw your attention to something. It's amazing to me. This book, folks, this book, I know it's printed on dead wood that come from a tree somewhere. God bless the tree that gave me this Bible. But this book is alive. It's more than ink on a page. This is God's word. It's alive. You can turn to the scriptures, and I want to encourage you to be a reader of the scriptures. It is easy to read through the whole Bible from front to back in 1 year's time. Just a few minutes each day. Husbands and wives, I encourage you to read together. John chapter 4. There's an amazing encounter that Jesus has with a Samaritan woman. John chapter 4 says, When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. That does not mean accept or save. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. I can't read this anymore without hearing Pastor Pascal Kreitz preach to us, "Do you know who's sitting on your well?" The scripture says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw." Can you find a more horrific case of somebody just totally ignoring what was just said to him? She said, the woman said unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" And I still hear the words of Brother Lee Stone King preaching from his research and saying, when it says that the well is deep, he said, 96 feet deep, to be exact. And I can't imitate him as well as I used to when I was young. And then she said, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Oh, yes, ma'am. The one that's speaking to you, he's greater than Jacob. He's greater than Isaac. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Adam in the Garden of Eden. She says, "Are you greater?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto her, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." She still thinks he's talking about natural water. God bless her. I can't promise that if I was in her shoes that I would have done any better. Hindsight's 20/20. We're looking at it with a couple of thousand years of hindsight, and I'm trying not to be too hard on her. But my goodness, when people are upside down and they're thinking, they can be hard-headed. Anybody ever meet them? I've run into them in Bible studies, witnessing in the store. Hard-headed. It's because they're upside down. They look at you and you don't make sense. It's why you'll get conversations like Elder Rusty Sandy talked about this morning when he said somebody approached him and said, how is it that you can trust God so much? They don't understand. It's because they're upside down in their thinking. Jesus, she says, get me so that I won't have to come here to draw. So Jesus says, okay, maybe if we bring out word of knowledge, she'll realize we're talking about spiritual things. So he says, okay, all right, go get your husband. He says, go call the husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Now she's being snarky and coy. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidst truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Still, it's starting to dawn on her that she is dealing with someone that's greater than Jacob. And so, it's interesting to me, the reaction that the upside down thinking person has when they finally start to taste and see. It's like that moment when you have a raging infection and you have an abscess that is just packed with death and poison. And a doctor reaches down to lance that, and that poison just gushes out of that abscess. That is the sense of this conversation. She has been so upside down for so long, and her life has been such a nightmare. And one man after another man after another man after another man has let her down. I can understand why she finally said, no, I will not marry the next one. I'll just shack up with him. I am fed up. She's got bitterness against the Jews because of her perception of their racism, whether valid or not. She very likely had some issues against men. And now she sees someone that comes to her with power from another world. And as soon as he touches in a way that breaks through the fog of her thinking, she starts to spill. And it comes out this way, verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say, you Jews, you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She's pitting it as a contest of tradition. Why are your traditions any better than our tradition? You got a tradition for Jerusalem. We got a tradition for worshiping in this mountain. And who's to say that your culture is any better than my culture? I'm telling you folks, this is not a game of culture. There's going to be culture clash. There's going to be culture shock. But this is not a game of culture. We're talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about right and wrong. We're talking about a relationship with the God of the cosmos. Jesus, he's just so patient. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believeth me. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. Folks, it's beyond the description of words. When God Almighty, with a sovereign hand, reaches into your poisoned and sad heart and turns you from upside down to right side up and pours into you His salvation and His healing and His glory and His truth, and it so changes you that it turns you into a worshiper. The woman saith unto him, well, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Okay, so she's played Jewish culture against Samaritan culture. Now she's going to place Hebrew history against Greek translations. The Septuagint was a translation of the Hebrew Bible, what we would call our Old Testament. It was the entirety of their scriptures. It was a translation made before Jesus' time, some hundreds of years before Jesus' time. Jewish leaders saw that Greek had become the lingua franca of the world, and they realized that they needed to translate their Bible into Greek in order to remain accessible, in order for the truth of God's word to remain accessible. And so it's abbreviated, scholars abbreviated as LXX, Roman numerals for 70, and it refers to the Septuagint. And we can tell, Bible scholars that parse the scriptures carefully can tell in certain places when Jesus spoke, they can tell that he was speaking, quoting from the Septuagint rather than quoting from a Hebrew scroll because of little keys that they can pick up on. And she's going to just kind of drop that little bomb into the conversation. And she says, I know that Mashiach, that's the Hebrew, I know that Mashiach cometh, which is called Christ. Now, in the original, that would have been Christos, the Greek that we get our word Christ from. And Messiah in Hebrew means anointed, and Christos in Greek means anointed. And so the translation of what language you're dealing with is meaningless. The truth of the matter is, this is a human being who has been anointed by the very presence and identity of God Almighty. But she's trying to throw in here the language confusion. I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And her upside down thinking, he's talking to her about spirit. And she says, well, you talk to me about spirit, I'm going to talk to you about flesh. The Messiah is going to come in flesh. And when he gets here in flesh, he's going to tell us everything. I love Jesus' response. And I saw something tonight in this response I never saw before. She said, when he's come, He's gonna explain it to us. He's gonna Messiah splain. Not gonna mansplain or woman splain or Jew splain or Christian splain. He's gonna Messiah splain. She said, when he comes, he is gonna straighten us out. It's almost like she's saying, I know my people don't have it all, and I'm pretty sure your people don't have it all, but both your people and my people have been telling us that an anointed one is coming, and when he gets here, he's gonna straighten it all out. Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now in Isaiah 43:11, the Almighty God, the invisible spirit that created the cosmos said, I am the Yahweh, I am the I am, and beside me there is no Savior. Now in John 10, Jesus said, I'm the great shepherd. But in this passage, he's going to be acknowledged as the Savior of the world. He said, I that speak unto thee am he. And the Lord showed me something tonight in prayer and study. The Lord said, look in that verse and you'll see I and am. He said, I told her I am the I am. And then he said, look at what I squeezed in between. If you look at that verse very carefully, Eliana, if you'll put it up on the screen. He told her that he's the I am. And in between, verse 26, in between the I and the am, he inserted, almost like in brackets, these words, that speak unto thee. Folks, you need to let it hit you like the proverbial ton of bricks here tonight, that the I am that created the cosmos, that manifested himself to the world through this human man, the very I am that created the cosmos has showed up tonight in Clarksburg, West Virginia, to talk to you.
For listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.